Thank you, ladies. If I was going to sing it, I would have sung it just like that. In those same notes, amen? Take your Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. I really believe the pastor was sick until he told me the doctor gave him a prescription for fishing. Amen? And so he said that, and he gave him a prescription for to go to Hawaii. The air is cleaner there. Nah, he really is sick. We really do need to pray for him. And I don't take it lightly that he would allow me to stand behind his pulpit this morning and to be able to preach to you great folks. So in Ephesians chapter 4, I want to preach on the subject of replenish. The subject this morning will be replenish. Ephesians chapter 4, we'll begin in verse 17 and read a few verses here. So in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17, I want you to really focus in on these scriptures. The Bible says, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, ye henceforth walk," now notice this, "walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind." Now notice this, "having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness." But he says, "But ye have not so learned Christ." He says, "If you so learn, so if so be that ye have learnt, heard of him." And notice this, he says, "and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus." He said, verse 22, he says, "that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and is renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." After I pray this morning, we'll get into the subject of replenish this morning. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Lord, we're happy that you would allow us to come to your house today. And Lord, to be a part of your great service this morning. We pray that everyone here would open their hearts. And Father, I pray we leave sin outside. I pray that we, Lord, get it forgiven and get it underneath the blood this morning. And Father, we do pray for our pastor. Lord, we pray for divine healing upon him this morning. Father, we pray that even before he goes back to the doctor, Lord, you'd heal him. And Lord, that you'd heal him completely. Lord, be with all those that are sick this morning. I pray that you touch them and Lord, bless them this morning. We pray, dear God, that you bless the message now. We want to give you honor and glory in everything that we do. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Verses 17 through 19 kind of give us the story of what we were or our way before salvation. Aren't you glad you're saved this morning? I was thinking about this even early this morning while I was studying. I was thinking, you know, I could be on my way to hell, but God seemed fit to send by a preacher that told me about Jesus, and thank God this morning that I'm saved by the grace of God, and now I'm part of the family of God. That's pretty good. Now, I want you to notice verse 22 that he says that you put off, now notice this, concerning the former conversation or the person you were, the old man. By the way, everybody here this morning is wearing an old man. Now, I'm not talking about your daddy. Okay? I preached on this one time. I said, "Why'd you keep talking about my daddy?" I said, "No, not that old man. The other one. Amen. The one that we carry around." And the old man, now notice if you will there, verse 22, he says that put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. Now notice this. He says, "which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust." So the old man or the flesh is the one who is lost, the one that can never be saved, this flesh that we carry around. He says, I want you to do this. Paul is specifically stating this to the church at Ephesus. He says, I want you guys to put that off. Put off the old man. But here's the problem with today's society and with today's preaching is that we teach people, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't do that. But we never tell them what to replenish it with. I once heard a preacher say, he said, "How do you get air out of a cup?" Amen. I was in Corpus Christi, so if you notice that crowd down there, they're too close to the Gulf, amen, which that's where I'm from Florida, though. But he said, "How do you get air out of a cup?" And I said, well, I was thinking in my mind as he was preaching, I don't know. He said, well, we can take a cup, and he said, we can dump all the water out, and we can empty everything out, wipe it out, and he said, we can do it like that. He says, but that's not going to get the air out. He said, the only way you get air out of a cup is to fill it up. And can I say to you this morning is that it's not just one thing to say, you know what, I'm going to put off the old man. It's another thing to go to verse 24 and say that you put on the new man, which is created, now notice this, after God, which is after God, is created in righteousness and true holiness. You can't just wake up in the morning and say, you know what, Lord, please forgive me of my sin, and Lord, I want you to bless this day and go out your day to work and think God's going to bless you. Because, yeah, you took the old man and you put him in his place and you buried him, you died to the old man, but you never lived to the new one. Does that make sense this morning? You can't just wake up in the morning and be in a hurry and say, God, please forgive me of my sins. That's great, but you've got to fill your life with something. You've got to fill the void. You've got to replenish. You know, don't treat your life like your bank account. You just keep making withdrawals and never put nothing back in there. Amen. Everybody should have said amen right there. But we got to replenish. Now, I want you to go over, if you will, I want to give you some more scripture in Colossians chapter 3. In Colossians chapter 3. Now, we're kind of expounding on what we've already heard. Now, Paul talking to the church at Colossae. And we understand that all of these prison epistles, all these epistles that were written by Paul, he was writing them to encourage, to strengthen the churches. And I believe that he's trying to do that for us this morning. Now, in Colossians chapter 3, I want you to notice, if you will, what he says here in verse 1. He says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Now, Colossians chapter 3, verse 2 says, set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth. Well, that's a good deal, ain't it? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things to be added unto you. Can I tell you this morning, this world should hold nothing for us with eternal value except for souls. Now, notice what else he says here in verse 3. He says, for ye are dead. You say, wait a minute, I'm not dead. I still have a pulse. No, he's talking about, now you got to finish reading. He says, for ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Aren't you glad that you're hid this morning in Jesus Christ? The Bible says no man can pluck you out of the Father's hand and out of the Son's hand, and that you're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise till the day of redemption. And so you're hid in Christ. But notice this, verse 4 says, when Christ, who is our life, he's my life. I don't live. I live in Christ. Now notice this, he says, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Hallelujah for that one. Amen. Aren't you glad you got that hope this morning? But notice verse 5, he gives us all that. He says, you're dead with Christ, you're hid in Christ. But verse 5, the first word says, mortify. Mortify, if you look up that word mortify in your Webster's dictionary, you'll notice that it says to put to death or to be dead. He says, mortify. Now notice this, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, which simply means excessive affection, evil, concupiscence, which means lust and covetousness, which is idolatry. And then he gives us the reason for Christ's coming. He says, for which things sakes the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. That's why Christ came, to take away that wrath that was on us. In verse 7, he says, in the which ye also walk sometimes when ye lived in them. But notice this, he says, but now ye also put off all things, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communications out of your mouth, lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. But the verse doesn't stop there. It says, and have put on the new man. See, Paul didn't just say, you know what, take off the old man and see how your life works. It don't work like that. Matter of fact, can I just give you this one? This one just hit me. Turn to Hebrews, and I promise I get to preach it here in just a second. But Hebrews chapter 12, in verse 1, I want you to notice this one. So many times we read this and we know these verses, but I think we kind of miss some commas in there. But I want you to notice what happens in Hebrews chapter 12. Now, we're talking about replenish. We can't just take off the old man. We can't just get rid of sin in our life and go about our way and expect not our life to get filthy again very quickly. But notice what Hebrews says. He says, wherefore, seeing we are also so compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Wow. He says, look at chapter 11 and notice all these people that are around you that live the life of faith. He said, if they can do it, you can do it too. Matter of fact, I still believe this. I believe in this generation we can still have the great faith. But notice what he says. Because we look at them, we see their faith. He said, let us lay aside every weight and sin that doeth so easily beset us. Now here's what he said. He said, take off that old man. Take off that weight and that sin that doeth so easily beset us. Put it aside. Die to it. Mortify to it. Does he stop there? No, he tells us how to replenish our life. Notice what he says, if you will. He says, and let us run with, patience. The race that is set before us. He says, now when you lay aside the weight and the sin that does so easily beset you, he says, then you start running the race. And he says, here's how you need to run it. Look at verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So it's not just one thing. If you say, you know what, this morning I'm just going to wake up and I'm going to lay every sin and every weight beside. And you say, I'm going about my day. Forgot one thing. You forgot to replenish what you just took out. Now, has your parents ever told you, now, if you take something, you bring it back? Amen? Well, in this, you're going to take something out, but you're not going to bring it back. You're going to replace it. You're going to replenish it with something that is good, something that is true, something that is holy, and something that is godly for your life so you can run the race and so you can look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. So this morning, replenish. Boy, what a good thing that we can replenish. I want to give you three things this morning. I'm done. Three things this morning about replenish. Number one, replenish sin with the Word of God. Now, Paul said to the churches, he said, lay aside the old man, or take off, or put off the old man. He said, mortify, therefore, the members of your body. He says, I want you to be dead to the flesh. By the way, can I just say this to you this morning? The devil doesn't attack you spiritually. He attacks you through the old man. That's who he comes knocking on, because we can decide whether this morning we want to live in the old way, the old man, or whether we want to live in the new. You know what? You have to make a conscious decision and a prayerful decision. But here's the thing, is that you just can't lay aside that old man and put him off. And you can dig a grave 25 feet deep and 25 foot wide and cover it with concrete. But my friends, I'm going to tell you what, if you don't go over here and pick up the Word of God and replenish that sin that you laid aside, and you don't pick up the Word of God and you're not praying and you're not doing the things you ought to do, it's going to be a split second before you're right back to where you were. How many times have we done this, my friends? Let's be honest. My hand raised. Wake up in the morning, pray. Say, oh man, I can't wait to get the Word of God. And somebody gives you a call, says, hey, can you get down here? Boy, I'm thinking, man, I prayed this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, I prayed. I got rid of my sin. I confessed everything I could think of. Amen. And I confessed some of other people's sins while I was there. And so I repented. I've got everything right, Brother Tracy. I'm doing good, but I didn't replenish what I took out. You ever taken and put that cup up in the cupboard up there and closed it? Went up there about 2 weeks later, get that cup out, and you're like, where'd all this dust come from? It was locked up in the cupboard. Amen. Nobody else had dust. I didn't get no witnesses right there. Amen. Everybody awake? You take that cup out, you know why? It's because it's empty. And when things are empty, it's vulnerable to the elements of this world. And can I say to you this morning, it's not just that, hey, it's a great thing that you wake up in the morning, you pray, and you ask God to forgive you. But my friends, if I can encourage you, and if I can charge you as Paul was charging Timothy, hey, listen to me this morning, is that not just to die to the old man, but we got to live to the new man. When Pastor baptized just a few weeks ago, you remember what happened whenever he raised him out of the water? He said to walk in what? Newness of life. That ought to be all of our desire, as Romans says. As Paul said again, he said to walk in the newness of life. Now that you're a new creature, all things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And now we can walk in that newness of life. So we say goodbye to sin and we replenish it with the Word of God. You say, why should we replenish it with the Word of God? Well, Hebrews 4:12, you know this verse. It says, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the divine asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Here's what that just said. It said, you take and you put off the old man. You replenish sin with the Word of God. Why do you do that? Because the Word of God is going to continue to show you what's wrong in your life. It's going to continue to show you that you have rough edges in your life. It's going to continue. But here's the other verse that we need. Psalm 119:11. I think I read this Wednesday night. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And this is what David was saying. Hey, you reckon David knew about sin? But you know what I think about if you read the end of David's life and God said he was a man after God's own heart? Here's the thing I believe David found out. David not only said, you know what, I can't just put off the old man, but I got to fill it with something good. I got to replenish my life. David replenished sin with the Word of God and he said, Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. I believe this with all my heart. I believe every morning when David woke up and he prayed and he asked God to forgive him and he asked God to direct his life, I believe David grabbed a portion of Scripture that he could find and he began to read it and meditate on it. Have you ever just took one verse and just meditated on that? And man, that verse is just what you needed all day. Wow, I have. I'm so glad I got up and read my Bible. Listen to me this morning. Replenish sin with the Word of God. The Word of God is the great filler in the Christian's life. You know why? Because it's by our Creator. It's by our Savior, Jesus Christ. Number two, I want you to replenish self-will with God's will. Psalm 143, verse 10 says, Teach me to do Thy will, for Thou art my God. Thy Spirit is good. Lead me into the land of the uprightness. So this morning, we can say, well, I want to put off the old man. I want to die to myself. But I got to replenish it with something. You know what I found out? Now, is it all right if I just tell stories about me? Amen. I tell you all my faults. Is that over here, whenever I get in the flesh, guess what I want to do? I want to do my own will. Amen. Now, over here on this side, let's just be honest. When we're in the flesh, when we get in that spot of where we don't put on the new man, what do we want to do? We want our own will to be accomplished. And so when we put off the old man and we say no to our will, we can't just go about our day and say, well, I'll put off my will. It's not about me anymore. But wait a minute, you forgot to replenish it with God's will. See, I believe this is where we're at in our churches today, is that it's okay to say no to us, but we're not going to say yes to God. We feel like we're partially spiritual. That's a good word, partially spiritual. If we say no to us, but we don't say yes to nobody else. But can I tell you, if you just say no to you, you're still wrong until you turn to God and you say, Yes, Lord, yes, to Your will and to Your way. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, I will trust You and obey. That's it. You got to die. You got to die to Your will. And but yet, when you get up, you got to say, Yes, Lord. You say, well, I would do that, preacher, but I don't know what the Lord's going to ask me. You just failed again. You know what you just done? I wish I had like a jumpsuit up here to picture this. You died over here. You came over here and said, I would, but I can't. You just went back over here and put your old man back on. And zipped it up, put the hood on. No to my will. You know what? I believe there's a verse in the Bible that says, the ways of a man are right in their own eyes. Ooh, don't we think, well, I know what I'm doing. I wonder how many people over the years that I've said, well, I see you going the wrong way. Why don't you come back to church? Oh, preacher, I've got it all handled. Then they come doing this. Axis on their belly, but I'm not getting on the floor. Preacher, I'm so sorry. I wish I would have listened to you. Don't listen to me. Listen to God. You die to your will and you say, Yes, Lord, yes, to Your will and to Your way. I'm going to follow You. Boy, how many times we get in trouble when we say, you know what? God's really holding traffic up. Hey, listen to me. We got some people who honk at God in here. because the light has turned green in our mind and God's still sitting there, and you're going, ha, ha, ha. Don't that aggravate you? Said, let us run with patience. Why are we going to need patience for this race? Because it's God's timing, not ours. You know, I realize this. In the church I came from, we had a guy in our church who flew. He had a Bonanza plane. I loved it. Every time I got in there, I went, dum, 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 dum. Everybody know Bonanza? Amen. I'm old school. And one day we was going to fly. Now, this guy was great because we would fly 15 minutes to go eat breakfast. Loved it. It's his money, not mine. I'd get in there, put the headset on, and he'd say, and the first thing he always said, he said, now, he always went through his list of safety things. He said, now, if I tell you to, if I say we're going to crash, I want you to crack your door open, take your shoe off, put it in the door. I'm thinking, oh, Lord, do I really want to go? He says, that way if we crash, if it crumbles, it'll leave a space in there. And I'm thinking, but I'm going to have to hobble out of here with one shoe on. You know, stupid things go through your mind. But I remember we were going to fly to Fredericksburg. If anybody's ever been to Fredericksburg, beautiful down there. We fly into the airport. There's a nice little cafe there. You pull right up to the front door. It's crazy. I've never done that. We pulled up. And so anyway, we get up in the air. And it's like, whoo, man, this is a great. Beautiful day. I mean, I could see for miles. But I got a little scared when we got close. Because he started doing donuts in the sky. I lie not. I don't know if you've ever seen a pilot do a donut in an airplane. I wasn't ready for it. He just kept going like this. And I kept thinking, I need to ask him what in the world we're doing. But then I was thinking, you know, I'm just going to trust him. He's flown for 36 years. I'll just trust him. We kept flying around. And finally it got the best of me. I said, what are we doing? He said, I'm trying to reset my gauges off of some little tower there. And he says, because if I don't circle it until my gauge, I don't know nothing about flying. If you know more, hallelujah. But he says that I fly around this tower and it resets my gauges. He said, if I don't do that periodically, I could always get off course. You know what I thought? I wish I would have just trusted him. You know why? Because he saw the big picture. And you know what? God sees the big picture in mine and your life. Sometimes we don't understand why we're going north when we should be going south, but God sees the big picture. God looks down upon us and He sees the dangers that He's trying to help us steer around. He sees the bad decisions that maybe we can make if we're here. He's guiding our life. I believe this morning we need to replenish self-will with God's will. You remember the model prayer in Matthew chapter 6, verse 10? It says, Thy kingdom come. Remember the next part? Thy will be done as it is on earth as it is in heaven. This morning, I believe that ought to be our prayer. Lord, not my will, but Thine be done. The Lord's will is best for you. Now, let me give you the last thing this morning. We need to replenish your strength. Replenish your strength for God's. You know what? I realize that it's been a while since I've been to the gym. Laughter all over the auditorium. And I've been moving into our house this week, and I realized something. I've really lost a lot of strength. Amen. Now, I'm embarrassed to say that, but I used to love being in shape, and of course everybody did, I guess, at one time. But I realized this, Brother Tracy, that whenever I went to lift something in my mind, I'm thinking, boy, I got this. And I go pick it up and I realize I ain't got this. And when Joshua or Caleb can come over there and lift it easier than me, I'm thinking, wow. But you know what? That motivates me to try it again. And then, Brother Summers, I'm like, I got this. I ain't going to let them little young bucks whoop me. I'm down there. I'm going to pick it up on my own strength. And I'm like, oh. Can we say Bengay, heat and pad? Why? Because I want to do it in my own strength. And you know what? When we say no to the old man, not only should we just give all of our strength, all of our might, should it die with that old man, but we must turn to God and say, God, I am going to do whatever Your will is in Your strength. Because I've seen it. I've seen music directors. I've seen specialists. I've seen preachers. I've seen missionaries say, you know what? I'm just going to do it on my own strength, and they fail. I've seen Christians say, you know what? I'm just going to grab myself up by the bootstraps. You go right ahead and you'll fail. You must depend on the strength of the Lord. You say, how can I go through such horrible situations? You need to rely upon the strength of God. Some of you just this week have faced death in your families. And maybe looking out at it in a distance, you think, you know what? I don't know what I'd ever do if I lost a loved one. But you know what? It's always amazed me how whenever that time comes, that yeah, it's a hurtful time. Yes, it's a tearful time. But it's amazing how when you say no to your strength and you find that God's strength, that it is so strong in your life and that you can do it through Christ. I believe you know this verse, but I want to read it. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I can't do it within my own strength, but I can do it through Christ's strength. Can I give you Luke 18:27? Luke 18:27 says, and he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Aren't you glad you have a God that's big? Aren't you glad there's no amount of problems or situations in your life that God is not bigger than them? Isaiah 40:31 is a great song, but also it's scripture. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The problem many times is that we try to do things in our own strength. We say, yes, I'm going to die to the old man. I'm going to bury him. I'm going to say no to my will. I'm going to say yes to God's will. I'm going to say no to my strength and yes to God's strength. But so many times we don't do that. We don't replenish what we take out. We put things down and we die to the old man. But we never replenish what we take out. And we must replenish it with God's Word. And we must replenish it with God's will. And with God's strength. If we don't, my friends, we will very soon fall again. We must replenish it. Now let me ask you this. How many of you think this morning that you could go outside and pull the oil plug on your car and drain that baby dry? Put that oil plug back in there and drive it. You know what? I bet this. I bet you'll get away with it for a little while. Amen. But I guarantee you, the time's going to come when you're going to say, man, why does this thing run so bad? Amen. Mine runs like that anyway. Well, guess what? You didn't replenish what you took out with something better. By the way, God's always better than anything that we have in our life that is of self. What is the problem with that this morning? Well, I believe this is the main problem with this whole thing of replenish. I believe that the biggest thing is that people are truly never been born again. They've never trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. 1 Corinthians 15:47 says, the first man is of the earth, earthly. The second man is the Lord from heaven. And so when we think about the old man is earthly, and we think about the first Adam, he was earthly, but the second one, the Lord, the one that we're created after is heavenly. You cannot expect to live a spiritual life unless you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Because as the verses read earlier, that we're hid in Christ. Listen to me this morning. I'm hid in Christ and still have problems with sin. Because why? I still have this old flesh. But can you imagine that if you're not hid in Christ, if you're just open to the elements of the world, you can never conquer sin. You can never put on the new man unless you truly have been born again. Do you have a new nature this morning? Do you have a new want to this morning? Have you been born again? And have you replenished that which you've taken out? Listen, in the morning, I believe this with all my heart. I don't believe you have to spend 12 hours every morning in prayer and reading the Bible. I believe this. I believe God's a big enough God to give you a verse that can carry you through a day until you can get to another verse. I believe until you can get to another verse and you just keep meditating on these verses and quoting all these verses in your mind all throughout the day and replenish your life with goodness. Don't leave here this morning saying, preacher, I'm just going to say no to the old man. I'm going to mortify him. I'm going to put him to death this morning. But preacher, I don't know if I can go with the other step. Well, You can't do one without the other. You've got to replenish your life with that which is good and holy and pure. And that is the Word of God. That is the will of God and the strength of God. Don't do it in your own strength. I remember whenever I was real young, I first started preaching. I think I was 19 years old. And I remember thinking, man, I got this. This is easy. You study for a little while, you get up there, stand before people and tell them off, and everybody claps and cheers, and there's crowds going to come out to see you. Boy, was I wrong. I remember I got up and I said, you know what, I got this. Boy, this is all alliterated. Great. I think I heard somebody else preach it, so I was going to preach it. I got up there, Brother Kirby, I got up there and began to preach. All I knew that you were supposed to do when you got up and preach, it didn't matter what you preach, it was how you spit and slobbered and sweated. So I made sure I had the spit, the slobber, and the sweat going. I had the yelling going, and I remember I had that. And boy, I got down, I was like, man, that was a good one. Nobody commented on me. It's like, man, everybody ignored me. I was thinking, man, that was pretty bad, wasn't it? And they let me preach again, which was amazing. But you know what? I thought I could get up there and do it in my own strength. And I failed miserably. And I wonder and not only in that service, in other services, when I tried to do it in my own strength, I wonder how many people were hurt. How many people missed the message because I was trying to do it in my strength? How many people walked out still lost because I was trying to preach it in my own strength? How about you, Sunday school teacher? You're trying to teach in your own strength. How about it, singers? You're trying to sing in your own strength. How about it, Christians? Mom, Dad, you're trying to be a parent in the flesh and trying to do the things that God's wanting you to do. You can't do it. You've got to die to yourself. If there's ever been a bad husband, it's me. If there's ever been a bad parent, it's me. If there's ever been a bad Christian, it's me. If Paul says that he was the worst of all saints, I know that I'm below him. I know I got to die. I know I got to say no to me. I know I got to say no to this flesh. But my friends, I got to say yes to God. I got to say yes to Him and say, Lord, here I am. Use me. This morning, if you're here and you say, preacher, you're right. I'm not right. The Word of God's right. We can't just say no to the old man and put off the old man. We've got to say yes to God. We've got to look up to a holy God in heaven and say, Lord, I'm saying yes to you this morning. And can I tell you that if you're here, you're lost, you say, preacher, I've never trusted Jesus Christ my Savior. You've got to look up at God and say, yes, you're right, and I'm wrong. And Lord, I believe that your Son is who He said He is. I believe He lived a perfect life. I believe that He died on the cross. I believe that He was buried and He rose on the third day. And I believe that He's sitting on the right hand of God, and I believe He can save me this morning. The greatest day of your life will be the day when you bow your head before a holy God and say, God, save me. And God, in His infinite mercy and grace, sends His Son's blood. You think about the blood of Christ, which cleanses all sin. He allows us to go through it and it cleanses us. Wow. Our sins are gone. I like this too. Not only is it our future sin, but it's our past sin and our present sin and our future sin. It's all gone because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Maybe you're that one that's here this morning. You say, preacher, I'm lost. I need to be saved. There'll be people down here out front getting my attention. But we want to make sure you know this morning. And you know what I like about this church? It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about we're going to show you through the Word of God how to be saved. It's not what so saith our doctrinal statement. It's what saith the Lord. And what the Lord says about salvation. And you can know that you know that you know that you're saved this morning. Let's stand. Every head bowed. I want to pray, and then after that we're going to sing 162. Father, we thank You. We love You. Lord, we ask You to bless this invitation now. Lord, that You would do great, mighty things. Lord, help us to replenish that which we take out. And Lord, that we cling to You this morning. We ask You to bless now. In Christ's name, amen. As you look up this morning, hymn 162, Lord, I'm coming home. The altars are open for You this morning as Brother Tim begins to sing for us.